destroyed by dark despair. Oh, but Jesus, I have memories of the times that we've been through, and I wouldn't change one moment of growing up with you. I came to love you early, came to know you young. You touched my heart, dear Jesus, when my life had just begun. I gave you my tomorrows and a childish heart of sin, and you saved me from a lifetime of what I might have been. You filled some days with laughter, you held me when I cried. You said, child, you can do anything. You helped me when I tried. Now I treasure every memory, and I'm sure there couldn't be a child who could have known more love than you have given me. I remember how you touched me, but I can't explain at all how a choice that's so important could be made by one so small. I just put aside my questions. What you said to do, I've done. And I thank you for the blessings of coming to you young. I came to love you early, came to know you young. You touched my heart, dear Jesus, when my life had just begun. I gave you my tomorrows and a childish heart of sin, and you saved me from a lifetime of what I might have been. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. I gave you my tomorrows and a childish heart of sin, and you saved me from a lifetime of what I might have been.
Very good. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate it. That's the first time they've sung. Good job tonight. All right, ushers, you have the handouts. All right, there we got it. You have the handouts. Please get those quickly to anybody that wants one. A little bit later getting started than usual, but that's all right. We will still be done in good time tonight. Going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. I talked to Brother Jason today. He and his children are out east still and doing as well as can be expected and enjoying some time together. As they didn't get to do so much the last couple of years when Kelly was sick, so they are getting to spend some time together and doing okay. So I was glad to talk with them a little bit this afternoon. So anyway, started 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago now, on the subject of what's wrong with it. We'll do just a quick, brief review and then get into some new material tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's pray together. Everybody get one that wanted one. Anybody get left out here? All right, thank you, man. Father, we thank you for the privilege to have service tonight. Our hearts have already been helped and blessed, Lord, by the presentation and testimony. And then, Lord, the good song now, being able to sing together in fellowship. Now we come to your word. Pray that you'd open our eyes. Help us to behold wondrous things from it tonight. O Spirit of God, speak to us. And the Lord, deal with the heart that needs it most here. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, before we get to the text verse here tonight, in this passage, let me remind everyone that according to Revelation 4:11, all of us were created for God's pleasure. The Scripture says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created," which includes you and me. Now, ultimately, number one on your sheet, we were not created to please ourselves, but to please God. So don't forget that when it comes to deciding our behavior, what we participate in, what we avoid, what we wear, what we drink, everything about it, you know, what's wrong with it is not the right question to ask. That's an improper question to ask. Unfortunately, that's the question that's most often asked. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? The proper and right question, number two on your sheet, is what will please God? That's the proper and right question instead of what's wrong with it. Now, last time we were up on this subject 2 weeks ago, we got to talking about the matter of the word standards and or standard, okay? And unfortunately, there's many independent Baptists who express great disdain for the word standards. Standards have become something of a pariah among even independent Baptist Christians. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Number three on your sheet, a standard is based on a conviction which is formed from a principle which is taught in Scripture. Now, you got those four words there that are important. You got the four words, standard, conviction, principle, and Scripture. And at the bottom of the standard, you got the standard based on a conviction formed from a principle taught in Scripture. So at the bottom of every standard should be a foundation of Scripture. It's not a preference. It's not just somebody's, you know, it should be a foundation of Scripture under every standard, okay? And as I finished up the lesson 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, why are so many independent Baptist teens and young adults abandoning the truths they were taught from Scripture? You know, and I said I'd talk about it tonight, so I'm going to. Why is it that an alarming number of 20-something-year-olds are done with separated Christian living and even to the point of disengaging from church altogether? Altogether. It's not just a matter of separation. It's that they're done with it altogether. You know, someone might say, well, you know, they are abandoning their beliefs. But that's not true. The truths they are leaving were never theirs to begin with. You know, they might have honored the church, you know, standard. They might have honored the school standard. They might have honored their dad and mom's standard. But when that time came that they moved out from underneath dad and mom's watchful eye and let the church, and you know, what their beliefs are what we see being lived out in their lives, folks. You know, that's not the truth. Never was their belief. Now, in our text tonight, in this passage, look with me at verse number 14. Paul is speaking to Timothy here. It's the second letter he wrote to Timothy, and he tells him in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned," and don't miss the next three or four words, "and hast been assured of." Don't miss those important words. Yes, Timothy had been taught, and taught by someone he could trust. But number four on your sheet, more than just being taught, Timothy had been assured of those truths. He had great assurance about those truths. Paul mentioned in this in the context, if you will, let me say it this way, of being ready to engage in battle, so to speak, against false doctrine and those who are evil men and seducers, deceiving and being deceived. And number five, the greatest defense that Timothy possessed was not just what he had been taught. It's what he had been taught and assured of in his own heart. Taught and assured of in his own heart. So Timothy had learned these truths. He had been assured of them. And the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit used his mother Eunice. Used his grandmother Lois. And of course the Holy Spirit used the Holy Scriptures. And number six, the truths Timothy learned were not just on him. They were in him. Big difference, right? They weren't just on him. They were in him. So these were not just truths that he had been taught. These were truths that he had been assured of by the work of the Holy Spirit using different people and using the Bible in his life. And there are a couple of important lessons to be gained here about how young people can be assured of what they have been taught. Number one, which is number seven on your sheet here, it is important that those who teach the young people live what they teach. That's critical. It's important that those who teach the young people live what they teach. Now, Paul was one of Timothy's teachers. And the Bible says that Paul had said earlier in verse number 10, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine," but not just his doctrine, what he believed, his manner of life, how he lived his doctrine. It wasn't that just Paul taught it, Paul lived it. And Timothy saw that. Timothy beheld that, if you will. And it was that, it was Paul's teaching and then living what he taught that not only taught Timothy, but assured Timothy of these great truths. And number 8, I said on your sheet here, if there had been a discrepancy between what Paul taught and how Paul lived, Timothy would have known it. And folks, I submit to you, that would have been tough. Okay? That would have had some bad side effects. The truth of the matter is, folks, once young people sense a crack in the wall, they will exploit it to their advantage. Okay? That's just the human nature. And so here's Timothy. He's with Paul. Paul's his mentor. He's traveling with Paul. He hears Paul preach. He hears Paul teach. He knows Paul's doctrine, fully known Paul's doctrine, but more than that, he's known Paul's manner of life, and what he's seeing lived matches up with what Paul is teaching. And Paul, of course, is teaching Holy Scripture, truths from Holy Scripture. And so Timothy has not only been taught, Timothy has great assurance about what he has been taught. He doesn't question what he's been taught, because he's seen it lived. Now, pastors become very intimidated preaching rights and wrongs to their congregations because sometimes their own staffs, and at times, unfortunately, their own families do not live by the standards that the pastor preaches. And I'm going to tell you something. You got trouble when that's going on. Okay? Now, here is kind of the progression that we're seeing today. And I'm not talking about Methodist churches, folks. I'm not talking about, you know, the Methodist churches are going to be the Methodist churches and the Presbyterians are going to be the Presbyterians. I'm talking, and the emergent church is the emergent church. It is what it is. But I'm talking about independent Baptist churches, okay? A pastor sets a standard, but he fails to teach his church or his staff, maybe even his own family, the biblical basis for the standard. So whoever, the standard is never anchored to a scriptural foundation. Okay? So the scriptural principle, the foundation which forms the conviction on which the standard is set, is never proclaimed. Maybe the pastor is afraid to address a certain issue, but for whatever reason, it's never proclaimed. It's never taught. The pastor sets the standard, which basically forces conformity on his staff, his school, his youth group, maybe even his own children. Because this is the standard and this is how we live. But there's never any biblical teaching. There's no biblical foundation. And eventually, there is pushback from people on the standard. Folks, there's always going to be pushback. Always. That's fact of life. There's going to be pushback on the standard. Maybe it's from the students in the school. Maybe it's from some of the staff families. Maybe it's from the pastor's own children. So he gets a little pushback. Now he's under a little pressure. So it becomes a standard while on church or school activities. So we're not preaching that, you know, this is how we ought to live. Folks, if a standard is built on a biblical foundation, then that standard's 24/7. It's not a rule, it's a way of life. But the pastor's under a little pressure now, getting a little pushback from certain people, maybe even from his own staff, the school kids, maybe his own kids. So we're going to just kind of let up a little bit, and it becomes a standard while on church or school activities. And then there's more pushback, because once you start giving an inch, people are going to take a mile. Then it becomes a standard just on church property. And all of this is very confusing to the young people, and in some cases, to be honest, enjoyable. They're getting their way. I preached a sermon many, many years ago called Leading from the Bottom Up. When the kids are setting the rules, we're out of order. Florida needs to hear that right now. I saw a blurb, no time today to look at anything, just a blurb. Some guy in Texas said, any of our students walk out, they're going to be disciplined. I say amen to that. That's not the way to handle it. And it's turning into a Democratic Party. They're frenzy. I don't know how I'm getting off on that, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. When the kids start setting the rules, you're leading from the bottom up. That's not the proper order. Okay? Then it becomes a standard just on church property. Then there's more pushback and the pastor drops the standard for the church or school, and this is the pattern he starts taking. I'll just live the standard, not preach it. There's a lot of that going on. I'll just live it. I won't preach it. Finally, the pastor's own children refuse to live by the standard, and so the pastor just gives up. And that's sad. The argument is, hey, it's my job to teach Bible principles and let the Holy Spirit apply them to the people's hearts. Well, the only thing is they don't take that same approach to what they believe about giving. They're not afraid to teach on the principles of Bible giving, tithing, missionary support, building fund, and they're quick to apply the biblical principles about giving to the people, I mean to the point of really driving those principles home and even in some fashion, in the right spirit, confronting the people with those principles. But when it comes to principles of holy living, it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. It's a cop-out, folks. That's what it is. And we're losing ground. We're losing ground badly in this area, okay? Now, number 10 on your sheet tonight, it's very important that there be no schism in what is taught and what is lived by those who are teaching. It's very important that there be no schism in what is taught, what is lived by those who are teaching. And so I'll just say tonight, I'm not going to dwell on it, but for those of us in teaching positions here in the school or the Sunday school or in any kind of ministry, my goodness sakes, man, if you're going to stand up and teach any age, but especially children, how they ought to live, or how a Christian ought to live, then live it. Live it. Now, number 2, which is number 11 on your sheet here, it is important for young people to learn from the Scripture about what they are taught. Okay? It's important for young people to learn from the Scripture about what they are taught. And you've heard me say this as we started this year, this whole theme of I Believe God, that God put this on my heart for our young people. And I preached a couple of apologetic type messages already for our young people. And it's important that they hear from the Scripture about what they're being taught, not just somebody's opinion. Okay? Number 12, Timothy had learned truths from the Scripture as a child. As a child. You see that in verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This helped to create assurance in his heart about what he had been taught. When you teach children, when you teach young people, Bible, you know, if you teach them standards, rules of behavior, if you will, based on biblical principle, it will help them not just to be taught, but to have the assurance of what they're being taught. It's not just a rule chosen by authority. It was a standard developed from a conviction based on a principle founded on Scripture. And that's how they need to be taught. Okay? And it will help them. Now, there are some observations to make about this. And this is about as far as I'm going to go tonight. Let me give you, I've got 3 observations. There are 13, 15, and 16 on your sheets. Here. Now, let me say, first of all, on number 13 on your sheet. Scriptural truths that are the basis of standards have to be proclaimed consistently. Scriptural truths that are the basis of standards have to be proclaimed consistently. By that, folks, I don't mean every week. I don't mean every month. Okay, that's imbalanced. But listen, to teach or preach a truth that a standard is based on once every 10 years or so doesn't cut it. You know, a young person's level of comprehension and understanding changes over the years, right? A pastor may preach on a particular standard when a child is 6 years old and then never mention it again for 12 or 15 years. You know what happens? That child is now 18 or 20. And by that time, his own beliefs are set in stone. It's hard to change anybody after age 18. It really is what they believe. Those beliefs may never have been guided by scriptural principle because the child only heard them one time when he was 6 years old. Now, we don't hobby horse it here, but we don't go 10 years in between teaching and preaching on things. We did spend several Wednesday nights on the subject of wine, to drink or not to drink from the Scripture. I don't know how anybody can come out of that study believing that it's okay to have a social drink. And if a teenager listened, they ought not to be able to say, they ought to be able to say, not only was I taught, but I was assured. Because it wasn't just Pastor Angel, you know, hitting the pulpit and saying, don't you drink. Although that's not bad. That's okay. But it was this scripture, this principle, this scripture, for how many weeks? If you were, and I'm getting ahead of myself, that's my next point. So, let's pause that, okay? We don't hobby horse these things, but we're going to visit them as the Lord leads. We're going to visit these things because these kids need to hear consistently throughout their youth why we preach and believe what we preach and believe from the Scripture. Number 14, if a child consistently hears the truth from Scripture, then the opportunity for them to be assured of that truth greatly increases. He consistently hears it. The opportunity for them to be assured of that truth greatly increases. Number 15 on your sheet. Young people bear the responsibility of listening when the truth is being proclaimed. Now, guys, look, young people, you young men and young ladies, and I'm talking about the elementary school kids too. A young person may complain about not knowing why they believe what they believe, but they are culpable because when the truth was proclaimed, they did not listen. So you got to listen up. Get to listen up. Get your paper out. Get some note. Get your pen. Get a pencil. Mark your Bible. Listen up, okay? You take notes and ask questions if necessary. Young people, listen. And I've said this over and over again. And moms and dads, but even Sunday school teachers and staff people, not all questions are asked in rebellion. Some are asked out of curiosity. And they deserve to be answered. Okay? But you young people bear responsibility. You know, you reach 18, you say, well, I just don't know why I believe what I believe. Well, what were you doing in the service? Were you listening? Were you daydreaming? Okay? So listen carefully. Then let me say last, number 16, this is extremely important. Truth must be reinforced at home. Truth must be reinforced at home. Now, there was a time when I was just a kind of a little bit bumfuzzled about, you know, are our young people, they don't seem to know why they believe what they believe. And I get a sick feeling in my stomach. Have I failed? Have we failed as a church? And I was just kind of sitting at my desk one day, and the staff man walked in. He said, what's the matter? I guess it was visible. And I verbalized what I just told you. And he said, Pastor, he said, I'm not sure it's being reinforced at home. I said, well, you know what? And I must admit, folks, in some cases, I feel like there is a serious disconnect between what is proclaimed from the pulpit and what is believed, reinforced, and practiced at home. And I'm going to tell you, that creates confusion for a young person. A serious disconnect. Maybe not about salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. But for sure about some standards, the will of God, the priority of Christian service. I feel like in some of those areas there is a serious disconnect between what is preached from the Scripture and what's believed and reinforced at home. Serious disconnect. And when there's a disconnect between the home and the pulpit, it has the potential to create a very risky relationship in the future between the young person and any pastor. Why should I listen to him? My parents didn't listen. They didn't believe that. That's dangerous. I'm just telling you, that's dangerous. Now, why, you know, you may not dot every I, cross every T, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. If it's spelled out in Scripture and it's spelled out in the right spirit from the pulpit based on a biblical teaching, and you ignore it, neglect it, go a different way altogether, I'm just telling you, that's a very dangerous thing. And I'll tell you, I really, seriously feel like there's a disconnect between what's preached and the vision of what the Bible talks the will of God to be and what's being encouraged at home. I'm very concerned about that. What is the will of God for, you know, I don't know that the will of God is playing into many decisions. And that really concerns me. Really concerns me. And I'm not chastising you. I'm just sharing my heart with you. Sharing my heart with you. And so be careful. You know, for this thing to work, man, truth must be reinforced at home. Has to be reinforced at home. Now look, I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you that I'm giving you this guarantee that, you know, you reinforce everything at home that is taught here, and you live what you teach your children, and all the children are going to decide to walk the right path and walk the same road. I'm not going to tell you that because I've known instances where all of that happened and the kids still went a different direction. Still went a different direction. But you know what amazes me is, okay, I got a text early this morning from an adult that grew up in this church as a child, no longer goes to this kind of church, but has stayed very close to me, and sent me a text. I stayed up late, too late last night, reading Mrs. A's book. Please tell her I learned so much. Thank you. There is no disconnect in that home between the pulpit and the children. The parents were all just, it was right. Okay? Now what the child decided to do. But I'm telling you, it creates great confusion in young people's lives when there is something taught from Scripture that's not reinforced at home. And you guys have got to, you young couples, you've got to take the scriptural principles that are taught from the Sunday school, church, in your family altar, and reinforce them at home. Go over them with your kids. Live them. Practice them. And some of this departure can be curbed. And I, you know, it's not like there's nobody in their 20s serving God. We got a bunch of our young people. I was up at Caleb's last night. It was a joy to see Brianna Hansen. I'm talking about the former Brianna Frank. See Jesse Smith Lesmeister with her twins on the way. You know, and there's kids everywhere like that, thank God, in their 20s. And I don't know how to say it all, but I don't want to go overboard. Just be careful. Just be careful. Be careful, you know, and you're in a church like this that tries to, from the pulpit, give biblical positions. You know, be careful. Be careful just to ignore it in front of little children especially. Does that make sense to y'all? Okay, be careful. And so Timothy hadn't just been taught. He had been assured. Assured. Because he heard Paul teach and he watched Paul live. And the two matched. And he was assured. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, please help us as your people. First of all, God, to have biblical standards based on biblical principles founded in your Scripture. And then, Lord, give us the courage to live them. Give us, Lord, the sense to be, to line up with what's preached, if it's from the Bible, taught from the Bible. Help us to reinforce biblical truth in our homes. And Lord, may our young people grow up not asking what's wrong with it. Lord, may they ask what will please you. And may they live not only having been taught, but having been assured that what they've been taught is from the Bible. So teach us and help us, God, to stay on track with your word and in the rearing of our young people. And I'll thank you for it. We love you and rejoice, God, in all your goodness to us. And we just pray a protective hedge for the young people growing up in this church, Lord, back there in the nursery all the way through high school and beyond, that you'll help them to do your will first and foremost, above all else, and follow you. And we'll thank you for it. Bless the church. Bless our families in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a quick time of invitation.